And Father, as we focus our attention on your word this morning, I just pray that you give us your spirit to understand and to hear what you would like to share with us today. Amen. This week I watched a documentary on Princess Diana. I'm not a great fan of all this royalty stuff, but I did. I watched it. My wife is more into this and knows everything about the wedding and all this stuff. But I did. So I watched this documentary. It was quite interesting. And in this documentary, it was highlighted that just weeks before Princess Diana was killed, or was a victim of the accident, that she traveled to Bosnia to visit the landmine victims. She also visited Angola before and actually walked into a field that was still littered with landmines and set an example. She was a benefactor of this non-governmental organization, which is called HALO, which stands for Hazardous Areas Life Support Organization. And many attribute it to her intercession for the landmine victims that in 1998, the United Kingdom ratified the International Convention Banning Landmines. Today, 80% of the world countries have signed on this treaty. And all this because Princess Diana used her influence and her celebrity to stand up for the victims of landmines. Today we talk about intercession, of interceding, of stepping in between. Our series will come to an end standing strong. We are looking into the life of Daniel, how Daniel was this man who exemplified so many qualities of somebody who stood up for his faith. One that we can learn a lot from. And today, as we come to a close, we learn from him what it means to intercede, to step in the middle of a situation and to take a position to bring two parties together, if you will. Some of you have heard this word. It's a typical Christian word, intercessory prayer. Whoa, that sounds humongous. Intercessory prayer. But it's this kind of thing where we pray for other people. And you may have been the recipient of that in some way or the other, that people have prayed for you on your behalf. That's intercessory prayer, where somebody stepped in and prayed for you. Or you have done it for other things, that you have prayed for other people. Intercessory prayer. So what do you learn out of this story from Daniel? It's in Daniel 9. If you have your Bibles with you, it will not be up here on the screen. So if you have your Bibles or whatever you use as your Bible with you, you can follow along. And there's three things we learn. Three things we learn when it comes to intercessory prayer, or to pray for other people or other situations, when we step into that before God for them and on their behalf. But first of all, it always starts with stepping into the presence of God. I mean, that's what prayer is, isn't it? Prayer is if I step into the presence of God. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is standing before Him and speaking to God. And the question here would be, in our situation, in our context here, what would make Daniel stand before God? There's always a reason if you stand up for others or for a situation. Well, here in chapter 9, the first four verses, it reads like this, and it's out of the New Living Translation. It says, it was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from the reading of the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. And I prayed to the Lord and confessed. So two things are obvious here. First of all, Daniel is reading his Bible. He's studying whatever he had in those days as Bible. And it was just probably some rolls that were available in those days, but he had access to at least one of those rolls, and that was the scripture that Jeremiah, the prophet, almost his contemporary, was writing down about what's going to happen with Jerusalem. That Jerusalem was only devastated for 70 years. Well, and Daniel could do the math. He could think back. He was about 80 years old at the time, but he said he could count back, and it was about 66 years that he started his ministry, if you will, in the government there when he came as a fresh prisoner of war to Babylonia. What happened in the meantime, actually immediately before, a year before this happened, that the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire, took over the Babylonian Empire, and there was a huge upheaval in the country, as you can imagine. Everything was in upheaval, everything changed, a new government was in place, and Daniel took this opportunity to read his Bible. It's a good thing, by the way, when things get in turmoil in my life, in our lives, to turn to the Bible. And to read again what God has to say, maybe we find answers there. And that's what Daniel did. And he bumped into this text, which we find in Jeremiah 25. And then that led Daniel that he came before God in prayer and fasting. He came before him in prayer and fasting. My question is, what would make you come before God in prayer and fasting? What could move your heart so much that you come into prayer? And there's always something that will move you, as it did in my life. There's certain situations that happen, usually crisis, maybe in your life or your family's life, your children, your grandchildren, your work situation, your neighborhood, maybe in the country, and that almost inspires you. You need to go into the presence of God. You don't know where to turn otherwise, but into the presence of God. Say, God, here is the situation. I want to pray for that. All of you who have children know you will pray. Pray a lot. Raising children is a task. I always say the book still has to be written to raise my children. You know, there's always those things that you can read in thousands of books, and then they're your children. You have to raise them. And one of the things that we did a lot in our time when we did this is praying for them, because we didn't know better. We had no idea what to do. But then you're also interested in that they find God. There's your grandchildren. And you stand in for them and pray for them. There's your neighbors. There's your friends. And you start praying for them. That is what leads you into the presence of God and pray. Now, as we look into the life and into the prayer that Daniel prays, and as I've mentioned before, there's three things that we learn when it comes to intercessory prayer, when it comes to standing up for someone else, that we need to recognize and that we need to keep in our mind so that our prayer becomes effective. Three things. The first is connected with a question that I would ask, and I'll ask three questions. But the first one is, what is the goal of my intercession? What would I want to achieve before God when I intercede? What do I want to get from God, to put it very plainly? What is my goal? And that's a good question, isn't it? You know, what do I want? Why do I come before God? And the initial answer to that question would probably easily be, well, that the things get resolved. That the person I'm praying for gets better. That the situation gets better. That there is relief to pain, there's healing, or whatever we may bring forth. That would be probably our initial answer to that question, what is my goal when I come before God? And I'm not saying that anything of that is wrong, but from Daniel we learn, as we learn from other intercessory prayers, it is about more than just getting a resolve in that situation. Here it is. It is, intercessory prayer is concerned about God's name. intercessory prayer is concerned about the honor of God. And that may not have jumped into your mind when you think about intercessory prayer, if you're honest. Because we are more like involved in the situation and try to resolve it as quickly as possible and try for God to jump in and make it happen. But what we learn from this prayer of Daniel, as we do from others, is that the primary goal of intercession is God's name and God's honor. God's name and God's honor is at stake. How does it manifest itself in his prayer? If we read on, if you will, I just read a couple of verses out of that, verse 4 and following. He said, O Lord, you are great and an awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets. Who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right. But as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our kings and princes, ancestors are covered with shame. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed his instructions that he gave us, his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instruction and turned away and refused to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured down on us because of our sin. You have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you warned. Never has there been such a disaster as happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Therefore, the Lord has brought upon us this disaster he prepared. The Lord our God was right to do all the things, for we did not obey him. And then later on in verse 17, it says, O Lord our God, hear our servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay, O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. Do you recognize what Daniel wants to achieve in this prayer? He first confesses with all of them, yes, we have done wrong. We have done wrong. We deserve exactly where we're in. We deserve the situation that we're in. We are in captivity. We deserve all of that. But then he pleads repeatedly, Lord, for your own name's sake, for your honor, please act. Please free us. This is, as I've mentioned, common in all prayers that we find, prayers of intercession in the Bible. There was the prayer that Abraham prayed when he was informed by God's angels, if you will, that God will destroy Sodom. He remembered that Sodom was the place where his relative lived, Lot. And then it says in the Bible, you can read it in Genesis 18, and he stood before the Lord. As the angels walked away, he remained standing. And then he prayed a prayer like this, Oh God, you cannot just destroy a city if there are at least 50 people in there who belong to you and observe you and listen to you and obey you. You can't do that. What would people say about you who destroys those who pray to you? You see, it was about the honor of the glory of God. When Moses was pleading with God after God decided to destroy the people of Israel when they worshiped the golden calf, he stood before God and said, God, you can't do this. It is about your name. What about the people around us that would watch us? What would they say? God could not protect his people in the desert? Think about the honor of your name. And then there is this famous psalm that we often quote. in times of crisis, Psalm 23. And in this Psalm 23, there's also this one phrase, where you lead us on path of righteousness. Why? God leads us on paths of righteousness. Why? So that we have a good life. Because He loves us. He likes us. He wants the best for us. No, it says He leads us on path of righteousness for His own name's sake. Have you ever thought about it? If you are a child of God, that God's honor is at stake in what happens in your life. If you confess and profess to be His, a follower of His, His people, His honor is at stake with what happens to you. And that is exactly why Daniel stands before God. God, it is about your honor. We also are taught to pray that way when we listen to the Lord's Prayer. It starts, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be kept holy, honored." So the first thing we learn when it comes to intercession, when we pray for other people, when we pray for situation, when we pray for this city, when we pray for this country, when we pray for certain things, and when we stand in between, is why are we doing this? That we answer this question clearly. And that we can say, because God's honor is at stake. God's glory is at stake. It's about His name. That's why I'm standing here. God, You are a God. And then we need to know Him. Sure. We need to know what He stands for. We need to know His character. We need to know His plans. We need to know what God is all about. Daniel seemed to have known that very clearly. God promised this. And that's why we stand before God. So when you pray, and start praying for other people, praying for your family, praying for the people that are dear to your situation, take a moment and answer the question, what am I praying for? What do I want to achieve? Is it about the glory and the honor of God? By the way, all the miracles that Jesus performed were about the honor of God. John, the Gospel of John calls them signs. Signs of what? Signs that the kingdom is here, that God as a king is glorified. And in the signs, God is lifted up as the God who is changing, a God who can intervene, a God who is listening, a God who can answer prayers. So, intercession has to do with the honor of God, the glory of God. First thing that we learn. The second thing that we learn is also attached to a question. So what is the basis? What is the foundation on which I can actually come before God? I mean, I can have many wishes and many desires, and many times this is what fills our prayers. But do I have actually a basis? Is something that I can stand upon and says, this is why I come to You with the right reasons and on the right basis? And here's the second thing we learn. Intercessory prayer is based on God's covenant. It's based on God's covenant. See, God promised us something. And that goes all the way back to the beginning of mankind when we opened the Bible and Adam and Eve, they were kicked out of Eden. They sinned. But God made a covenant. God said, this is not it. That's not the end. I will continue. And I will make this right again. And the whole story that unfolds from that moment until the very last pages of the Bible is the story of God working on reestablishing His kingdom. The Old Testament in Israel was this model how that should function. The kings, for that reason, were supposed to function on God's behalf and reign in representing God. And how well they did? Well, read the Bible. There were only a few where it says, and he did what God was pleasing to God. The rest didn't. But that was the intention. To understand this is how God is, and this is represented in our King. God made a covenant. The New Testament has a covenant, not just with the people of Israel, but with all people. Because the people of Israel just had a preliminary function until the kingdom of God was represented and open to all. And here Jesus became that intermediary, this intercessor who stepped now into the middle. And for him, it was not just a prayer. It cost him his life. It cost him his life to step in between God as Father, us as human beings. And he says, I take your role, us as human beings. I will take the punishment and penalty that you deserve. And then he could distribute grace So that whoever comes to him, as we heard in scripture, whoever confesses his sin, it says God is faithful and just. Faithful to what? To his covenant. To his promises. He is faithful when we come before him because somebody took the price. Jesus came in and was this intercessor who still functions as such for you and me to pray before God. That's what we learn from Hebrew. But here we come before God knowing this is what God promised. So see, when you and I, when we start praying for something, make sure that we have a foundation. Sometimes we find prayers that we pray, for example, let me put this out as one example and don't be offended if it may offend some. But sometimes we pray for this country as if God has promised this country to be blessed, like Israel. Israel had, at the time, in those days, a special status. It was the people of God. But no other country in the world has that blessing, ever. That blessing is resting on the people of God. Wherever they are, wherever they come together, this is the new Israel. But sometimes we hear those prayers. Do we want that God blesses our country? Absolutely. Are we praying for our governments? Yes, because God commanded us. But this will never be the kingdom of God in such a way. So be careful as we pray that we have a good foundation for what we pray. But what we can pray for is that God builds his kingdom. What are we taught after we are praying, hallowed be your name? Your kingdom come. Where is God's kingdom? Where his will is being done. So we pray, your will being done. And what's your will? God's will is not a big mystery. Sometimes we act, if you pray this, God, your will is such a mystery, but your will is done. No, we have a clear description of the will of God. What God wants to do with this world, what God wants to do with people. We know what he likes, what he loves, what he wants. He hates sin. He wants righteousness be established. So when I see anything where it's unrighteousness, I can pray with confidence. Father, you don't like that. May your will be done that righteousness and rightness comes into this situation. If we see people who do not obey God and, we call them sinners or whatever we may call it, we know God doesn't like it. So I stand in and says, God, your will be done in this situation that they come out. God doesn't like when people are suffering under pain. So we pray and say, God, please restore if it's your health. So we stand on promises. We pray because our prayer is based on the covenant. And thirdly, the question is, so why and what motivates me to keep on praying? But every one of us who have been praying for a little bit know God is not just jumping when I say something. It would be nice, but he's not. He is not the one who is at my disposal. He is my king. He is my Lord. He is my Father. So I always come humbly before him. He is not my servant. But then the question is, what keeps me praying? What motivates me? Prayer of intercession, it is motivated by God's saving deeds in the past. It is motivated by God's saving deeds in the past. Here in our prayer, we don't have the time this morning to go through that back again, but if you read, he recalls how God has freed his people from Egypt. So he goes back into history and says, God, you have done this. And that motivates me to keep on praying right now because you are God who listens to prayer, who answers prayer. That keeps us praying. Because God is the God who answers prayer. And we have thousands of years of stories and histories and experiences that we can go back on. And maybe you have that even in your own life. That you can remember those moments when you said, yeah, I remember. In this situation, when I prayed to God, he came through for me. So, and God, why? Because you did that, I come before you and I will stick it out and I will continue praying. I will keep on praying because you are a prayer answering God. Actually, God has done it in such a way that many things, if not most things on this earth, come to pass because of prayer. You see, the whole thing in the story is God promised that Jerusalem will only be laid desolate for 70 years. And Daniel could have said, well, good, let's wait. 66 years are down, 4 more years, we'll see what happens.
But it's actually not what he did. He prayed. Why? Because that's how God functions. He wants us to pray. It's not like this God just does it and it's not relevant what we do. God wants us to pray. It's a mystery in many ways, I admit. But that's how God works. He involves the prayers of his people to get the plan that he has in this world to get it done. And that is also true for you, for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, your city. It is his will that by your prayers, his will is being done in your life. He wants you to pray. He wants you to intercede. He wants you to step in and remind God of the promises that he has given. Remind him of his covenant. And be concerned about the honor and glory of God that is probably not in the situation that you're praying for right now. So my question to you is this. What are you going to pray for this week? What are you going to pray for? What is God moving in your heart? What if you think about it, no, this is something deep down that moves me. I know there are certain things not right. I mentioned before, if you're a parent, it's your kids. Bet you, it's your kids. It could be your spouse. It could be a larger family that just moves you. And you just say, God, I'm so one that your glory and your honor is known, that they know how good you are, that they know what a wonderful God is, that brings you to prayer. It might be other friends that you know that are suffering right now, and you know that's not right, and God wants his kingdom to be established, and he wants that his honor is being seen, that people can recognize he's an awesome God. So you just pray for your friends and for those that you walk with and that your heart beats for. It could be a situation at work where there's great injustice, unfairness. And you know God hates that. And you pray, God, bring justice to that. And if I am the agent to bring justice, so equip me. Let me be this agent of yours to be here and represent you well. It could be that you pray for his church. For his church that you attend here, or the church at large that you see, and they may suffer. A church may suffer. They don't live up to what they believe, and they are sometimes persecuted in other countries. And you step in and say, God, your honor is at stake. Bring honor to your name to free them from the bondage of fear and intimidation. Bring new courage to your people, that they stand up and speak up and stand up for your kingdom. It's so many things. What is it that's on your heart? What is it that stirs you? What do you want to pray for and be an intercessor and bring before God next week? Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we want, God, with every fiber of our heart and life. Because we have tasted something of your goodness, your greatness, your holiness, your glory. And we want others to see that. Your kingdom come. Establish your reign. Break through, God, where there's still injustice and where there's still evils and powers of evils at work. Breakthrough. And God, we know that always happens through your people. And where we may be called to do just that, give us the courage to do that this next week. That we step up as your agents, as your representative, that your kingdom may come into those situations, into the lives of other people. That you manifest your power for your own glory and for your own honor. And God, and may your will be done. And we want to start with that in our own lives. Clean up where we don't do your will. Resubmit to do your will with all of our heart. To do what you have called us to do. And then that this will may extend from us into our realm of influence where we live. That your reign is established exactly there by doing your will and obeying what you have called us to do. Encourage us to be those intercessors for the people that we live with, that we share life with, that rub shoulders with. Let's be willing to stand up and stand before you and come before you with this heart of intercession to step up and stay in the breach and bring those needs before you. God, encourage us to do this coming week. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.